Back with more of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News, I'm Ben Kiefer. When it originated at Iowa State University in 1922, Vesha was meant to be an annual springtime celebration showcasing that community in Ames. But this year, riots and mayhem broke out once again. Tomorrow on our News Buzz edition of River to River, we'll look at whether Vesha has a future at all. Also, I'll listen back to my conversation with evolutionary biologist Richard Dawkins. He's speaking in Des Moines this weekend. That's tomorrow on the program. Today, we're jumping off from a fact that some Iowans visit hospital emergency rooms more than 15 times a year. They're known as super or frequent users. So we're continuing our conversation about the costs of ERs, treatments, how to bring those costs down and deliver more effective service at the same time, and how this all fits into the Affordable Care Act, which we're transitioning into and have been for a few years now. With us from the first half hour, Dr. Josh Pruitt is with us from St. Luke's Hospital in Cedar Rapids, and we heard about their program, the Emergency Department Consistent Care Program. Dr. Josh Pruitt with us by phone. Also joining us now, Dr. Hans Haus. He's an emergency medicine physician at the University of Iowa Hospitals and Clinics, a clinical professor of emergency medicine at the University of Iowa. Dr. Haus, welcome to our program.
Thank you for having me on.
And let's talk a little bit more about super users. We did with Dr. Pruitt just a moment ago. Remind us, Dr. Haus, who are the super users, the people who frequent the emergency department so much, and why do they depend on it? What are the types of cases there?
Sure. So super users, we define as someone who visits the ER more than five times in a year. And if you look at studies, these are people that generally will have some sort of mental illness. It might be depression. It might be schizophrenia, but they have something like that. But then they come in for any number of things, and they have some sort of chronic condition. They might have diabetes. They might have COPD. They might have asthma. They might have sickle cell disease. And when they come to the ER because they really need care, because they really have got a serious medical problem.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned mental illness as a type of person that could need frequent care at the ER. Give an example, if you could, of someone suffering from mental illness and the challenges that that poses to an ER physician.
Well, we've had some very unfortunate cases that I've treated in my years. Patients who have depression once they come in suicidal, or they try to harm themselves. I've had patients who like to swallow things to try to make themselves feel better, and we've had to retrieve objects from their stomach, even pens, eyeglasses, even sometimes a steak knife, which is really remarkable. So, and then there's patients with who don't have mental illness, who just have a disease that, unfortunately for them, is going to frequently cause problems. And a perfect example is sickle cell disease, who will get painful crises that really require strong pain medicine to get them through that.
What are some other common diseases that bring these super users to the ER outside of the mental illness?
Certainly the migraines that she has discussed before. People want to have very frequent migraine attacks and require treatment for that. Asthma. Also diabetes is a really common one. People get a lot of complications from diabetes, and that brings them to the emergency department for a number of different reasons.
Mm-hmm. How is this being paid for? We talked about with Dr. Pruitt and our other guest in the first half hour about some of these super users not being able to afford it. What can you say about that, Dr. Haus?
It's certainly a problem, because they certainly need to be there. They need to come to the ER. A lot of these patients do have insurance. Another thing we looked at in the studies is a lot of patients who are super users do have medical insurance. They might have Medicaid, they might have a similar plan, or they might even have private insurance, but they will continue to need the care. And their care is often paid for by the insurance, in addition to whatever copay that they have to pay, which unfortunately for them can be quite a bit, especially if they're coming to the ER often.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned the Affordable Care Act.
Yes, let's talk about that, because that's now been delivering services since the beginning of the year. If you were enrolled earlier, has that made a difference in emergency room attendance?
Yes, it has, and it's interesting what the effect will be. We're not entirely sure, but based on previous experience, both in Oregon, based on looking at people who got Medicaid in a kind of a randomized fashion, and also based on the experience in Massachusetts when they had their universal insurance, emergency department visits went up. People who have who didn't have insurance who then get insurance, they tend to need care, and there's not enough primary care providers for them to go to, so they'll go to the ER because they have a problem and then they need care. What's interesting is at the University of Iowa, somewhat uniquely, we actually saw a big drop in the number of visits that we've had this year since January 1st. And part of that's due to weather because it's been really cold and we just don't have as many visits when it's cold. But then another big part of it is a change in the Iowa Care Plan. In Iowa Care, previously patients were directed specifically to hospitals in Des Moines and Iowa City. And now with the Iowa Wellness Plan, those same patients can go anywhere, and they do. And that's really good for patients because they can get care locally, they can care near where they live, which is better for them. They don't have to drive quite as far. And for patients in Iowa City, our emergency room, the waiting times have decreased dramatically, and patients can get in to see a doctor right away.
Do you see any downside of the Affordable Care Act entering the picture here for you?
No, I think that if people have a need to go to the ER, and if people need, people think they have an emergency. I heard the discussion previously about someone who thought they might be having a heart attack. If a patient is having chest pain and thinks that they're having a heart attack, that's an emergency. If a prudent layperson thinks they have an emergency, it's an emergency. Mm-hmm. And so we don't want people to questioning whether they should go to the ER. So the fact that someone has insurance coverage and has medical coverage, they don't need to worry about that kind of thing, and we want them to come to the ER, and we want to treat them. We're going to treat someone in the ER regardless of their ability to pay. It doesn't matter. We can't even ask about their insurance status before we start treating them. We're there to protect them.
Dr. Josh, go ahead. Finish up there. I wanted to go
ahead. So when that person has chest pain, they might come. They might get seen, and they turn out they might have heartburn. But they would have known that prior to coming to the ER.
Dr. Josh Pruitt at St. Luke's in Cedar Rapids, tell us, have you seen an impact of the Affordable Care Act on your emergency room?
It's hard to tell, and I think it's going to be an issue where it's going to take some time for us to see what actually happens. I agree with Hans. I read the same studies in regards to Oregon and Massachusetts that seem to indicate that when you take a service that was previously costing folks money and make it less expensive for them, they tend to use it more, and that sort of makes sense. And obviously, we do have limited primary care resources, so I anticipate that we're going to have more patients, but I think it's going to take some time to play out and see exactly how that's going to impact the emergency room specifically.
Okay, Dr. Josh Pruitt is with us, Dr. Hans Haus, emergency medicine physicians. And let's talk with Catherine Noble now in our Ames studio. Catherine is a resident of a state center. That's a town of about 1,500 people, as the name indicates, in the center of our state. Hi, Catherine Noble. Thanks for coming into our studio.
Hello.
You were visiting the ER frequently for your daughter's ear condition. Tell us about that.
Well, when she was quite small, I'd say between ages 2 and 5, she would wake up screaming with ear pain, and it was ear infection, which is a pretty common thing. But it would happen at 8, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night. And
what do you do?
Yeah. Well, you wrap her up in her jammy and put her snowsuit over it and hope the roads aren't too bad. And you drive 40 minutes in bad weather to get her to an ER where you might sit for an hour to 2 hours and then finally get the pink stuff and go home. erythromycin. You knew what you needed, but that was the only way you could get that, and you just weren't aware of the condition until it was very late.
How many years ago was that?
Well, she, I'm proud to say, has survived all this. She's turning 17 this month.
Okay.
So this has been quite a while ago, but it was a pretty big ordeal for us to do that.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like it. Now, what has changed in the meantime? Do you have better options than driving, 40 minutes to a hospital from a state center?
Mm-hmm. We do. I had insurance, and the insurance that I had, it was better for me to go to Ames, but Marshalltown is still a good 30 minutes away, and those would be your two options at that time. And now there's emergent care, which if something happens on a Saturday, it's a little better for you. You're not necessarily going to have to go to an emergency room. But I think late at night, as far as I'm aware, you're still stuck with this option.
Dr. House, respond to this case that we had several years ago. The ER is not the place for ear infections, I take it, but there's no other option for Catherine's daughter here, was there?
I think that's an excellent point, and it demonstrates one of the challenges that people face is that you know, urgent medical needs occur at all hours of the day. And you're right, sometimes the clinic, even someone who has insurance, even someone who has a primary care provider, they know. If the office is not open, they can't get into them. We are the service that is available 24 hours a day. Now, things have changed, and there are more clinics that are having later hours on weekdays and weekend hours, which is really a nice advance. But the truth is, it's still the case for most people. The ER might be the only place you got to go, and that's what we're here for.
Let me bounce this Facebook post off of our emergency medicine physicians here from Jeff on Iowa Public Radio's Facebook page. And any effort that helps control health care costs without discouraging people from care should be explored, but they should realize that many ER frequent flyers are brought in by ambulance services that are not being compensated very well and can lead to problems in your local EMS system. Would you like to tackle that, Dr. House?
That's a great point and a great question, and that's true. Sometimes these patients, you know, and like I said, people who are, quote, the frequent users, they have serious medical conditions. They are calling an ambulance because they need an ambulance, and I think that is true, and that's definitely a problem for those ambulance providers. Hopefully, as more people have insurance because of the Affordable Care Act and encouraging people to get insurance, hopefully those providers will get reimbursed for their all the wonderful care they do.
Dr. House and Dr. Pruitt, let's have another guest join us in addition to Catherine Noble there in our Ames studio. Dr. Rami Boutros is Executive Medical Director of Offsite Ambulatory Care Programs at the University of Iowa Hospitals and Clinics. Dr. Boutros, welcome to our studio.
Thank you so much for having me on.
You work in ambulatory services at the UI Hospitals Clinics, and you try to prevent sort of emergency department visits through these clinics, which are fairly new. How are the clinics responding to the need for urgent care outside of the ER?
Well, we, as you mentioned, we are trying to prevent or help patients to get an easy access for simple conditions that might be handled in an office setting. So we have started with expanding our hours as well as building some of what we call it the quick cares around the city and Iowa City. And we have five of them locally, and we have one in Muscatine. And those are more to allow patient easy access to urgent needs, as well as we are expanding access within our primary care. So we are doing same access for patients. We expanded the hours of our offices. So if you come to our Iowa River Landing facility, our docs works until 8 p.m. for primary care, for pediatrics and internal medicine. We have Saturday hours. Our quick care offices are open on Saturday and Sunday. Yes, we don't have 24-hour coverage, but at least we try to capture before office hours as well as after hours for working parents also to be able to accommodate that. So we are trying to make it easy access to both primary care and simple urgent needs, also make it less hassle for the parents, free parking, easier spread around the city, so that way they will be able to reach us and get care.
What is the difference between your clinic, you call them quick care, if I receive, go in for, I don't know, poison ivy or a cough or whatever I may have, what is the difference in the care that I receive, the difference in the personnel who treat me?
They are part of the care team. They are advanced practice practitioners.
Not physicians?
Non-physicians. However, our regular clinics are staffed by physician as well as advanced practice practitioners. Both of them deliver care. The main difference, our quick cares is provide that episodic care. Our goal is to get the patient hooked with their primary care doctor and provide that access for prevention. So taking the example of Dr. House about the asthma is for patient who's coming frequently. We want to get them hooked with the primary care to prevent them from going to the emergency room, how we manage their medication on a regular basis. So there is a little bit of variation between the office, which is really trying to provide the primary care, the prevention for the quick care, which is episodic care done with advanced practice providers.
Dr. Hans Haus, with the advent of these quick care facilities that have popped up in the Iowa City, Cedar Rapids area, the University of Iowa hospitals once, what impact have they made on the care that you provide at the emergency room? Have they lessened the load there for people coming in, or what has been the effect?
It's certainly been nice for our patients to have another option for their care. No, it really hasn't changed that much for our numbers of patients coming to the ER because there are that many people out there who are sick and need care. But it is we have seen a number of people who have been using these quick care clinics, and we certainly want people to do that.
Well, I want to share another story we have from an Iowa Public Radio listener who got in touch with us. Charles Von Presley went to a free clinic to have an ingrown hair on his hand examined. Later, his hand was, in his words, swollen to the size of a small ham hock with some cocktail wieners jutting out of it. I guess the cocktail wieners were the fingers after the inflation of the other part of his hand. He then borrowed money to go to walk-in clinics where he was then sent to the emergency room to receive an antibiotic IV drip. He received a bill for $3,200. Is this a situation that we could treat in a clinic rather than in the ER in the foreseeable future? Is the question attached to that? Dr. Boutros.
You know, without going – not knowing the specific – all day and without examination, many of these, as a clinicians, we see them in our clinic and decide if there is an urgent need. Absolutely, we'll refer to the emergency room, especially if requiring IV antibiotics. However, medicine has changed dramatically, and many times we are able to deliver some of the antibiotic within the clinic, or if it is during the day, if there is need for a consultation with one of our colleagues who is more specialized, we are able to obtain that. Depending on the exam, absolutely, some of these might require emergency room, but some of them might be able to be handled in the office setting.
Let me have you react to a quote I have here from Michael Newsimall. I believe that's the way you pronounce it. He's the CEO and co-founder of a company called drchrono.com. That's an iPad-based electronic health record system. And here's what he has written. Doctors are going to have to become more savvy business people to be successful. They will have to rethink how they charge their customers and consider solutions such as having a patient's credit card information on file and making sure that patients understand they are responsible for whatever costs their insurance company will not cover. How do you react to that? Do you agree to that, with that, Dr. Boutros, that's the direction we're moving?
I think we are moving into more educated patients about their what's the cost of health care. It is very important for us to know what's the visit to the emergency room versus to the quick care will cost. But I don't want it to be the hinder for seeking emergency care when it is necessary. Definitely the patient is going to look also on their situation and assess what's going to be the most important for them and how it fits with their financial needs.
Dr. Josh Pruitt, respond to that as well. Doctors becoming more savvy business people? You said that's not a consideration in the ER, right?
Right. And I take – as an emergency physician, I take some exception to that. I mean, what we want is for people to come to the emergency department when they have emergencies and to put those financial considerations to the back of their mind because they've got to seek care when they've got emergencies. this whole idea of doctors becoming more savvy business people. I understand where he's coming from, but I just don't think that that applies when we're talking about emergency care. You know, maybe that's more applicable in a clinic when you've got less emergent conditions going on, but certainly not in the ER.
Okay. Dr. Hans Haus, we have just under a minute left. Perhaps I can give you the final word as to where you see us going in the ERs in the future.
Yeah, I think that's an important point, and I like the comment about the electronic health record, actually, because that's a way that we can really save money. I'm on the American College of Emergency Physicians Board of Directors, and our colleagues in Washington demonstrated a $34 million savings, mainly because they were able to share information between their ERs in a safe and secure manner for the patients. And I know that we can share information with Dr. Pruitt and his colleagues in St. Luke's, and I think that's really a helpful advance in emergency care.
Okay. I want to thank you all for joining us this hour. Dr. Hans Haus, emergency medicine physician at the University of Iowa Hospitals and Clinics, also clinical professor of emergency medicine at the UIHC. Dr. Josh Pruitt at St. Luke's Hospital, emergency medicine physician. And Catherine Noble in our Ames studio. Thank you for dropping by, resident of State Center, to share your story.
Oh, you're welcome.
And in our Iowa City studio, Dr. Rami Boutros, Executive Medical Director of the Offsite Ambulatory Care Programs. Thank you all for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Iowa Public Radio series on emergency room costs and care continues. Our last installment of the series in a few days, we'll focus on insurance negotiation after an emergency room visit. Have you had to negotiate your emergency room costs? We want to hear your story. Tell us about your experience. Join our Public Insight Network via Iowa Public Radio's homepage, iowapublicradio.org. Send us an email at this email address, investigatethis@iowapublicradio.org, or connect with us on Twitter at IPR Talk and on our Facebook page. River to River is produced by Emily Woodbury and Sarah Bowden. It's a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.